Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love. Be courageous and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now.
All right. Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding in love. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cunningham, and today we are talking about a personal and professional dip inside of polyamory and non-monogamy, and I'm so excited to introduce our guest. But before I do that, a reminder that the show, Elizabeth Cunningham Show, is live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Transformation Network Facebook page and is then aired on YouTube and podcasts every Thursday. All links are in the show notes, so you can find a new episode either live or pre-recorded every single week. I'm so happy to have you here. And on today's episode, we will be talking with Thomas Mundell about his personal and professional experience in polyamory and non-monogamy. Thomas graduated from the University of Arizona with a PhD in neuro-linguistic psychology. Thomas has dedicated his practice to walking with people as they discover how to use their emotional vocabulary. After all, the limits of our language are the limits of our world. So true. And in addition to his private practice, he is dedicated to being open and vulnerable about his own polyamorous relationships and experience, the comfy and uncomfy parts. He specializes in relationship dynamics, addiction recovery, and trauma, and he's super excited to share how all these things can quickly shape or misshape a relationship. Thank you so much for being here, Thomas.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, it's been an absolute pleasure just creating this show with you. So I cannot wait for today's conversation. Tell me a little bit, why is it so important for you to share about your personal and professional experience in polyamory?
I think it's important for people to understand that even a professional, someone who walks people through this and draws maps for people, you know, through their relationships, you know, even we stumble, even we, you know, maybe don't read the room right. Even we, you know, go through, you know, breakups and polyamory, and it's normal. Kind of humanizing therapists. We sit there and kind of go, oh, you know, here's all the solutions to, you know, all of your problems. And then people don't really see that, like, yeah, I personally have two therapists and I see them both once a week. Right. You know, we are, you know, we're all in this together. And I think that's what's important to really show people.
I could not agree more, especially as someone who's, I'm so excited to have this conversation because, you know, I'm in the same boat. I help people professionally in this arena, and I also am personally, you know, dealing with stuff. And I think it's so important to humanize it and to also, you know, to have people know that there's no, like, perfect way. There's no right way. It's not like I have ascended and so therefore I am now sharing all of this with you. It's like, no, I'm actually I am in the trenches with you. Mm-hmm. And I just happen to have, you know, a lot of knowledge and information and tools. Mm-hmm. And that healers have healers too. Mm-hmm. Like I have different healing practices as far as like I have my own coach, I have a therapist, I have my spirituality practices, you know, all of that stuff. Like there's so much stuff that I do as well to keep, you know, keep myself healthy too. And so, no, I think it's really, really important to, like you said, humanize even people who are very studied and professional and help other people do this as well.
It helps the patients or clients relate to whoever it is that's helping them. You know, I have struggled with addiction myself. And so it's easier for people that are, you know, struggling currently with addiction to talk more freely with me because I've been there. I've been through the dark and came out the other side. And now I'm not afraid to go back into the dark because I know it's not going to hurt me. And I can go back into the dark and pull them out or guide them rather, you know, going to an addiction counselor or therapist who's, you know, who's never smoked pot before, you know, that might not resonate with somebody who is, you know, addicted to, you know, different substances. Same with trauma. If you go to a trauma therapist and they're like, I've had nothing traumatic ever happen to me before, ever, it's going to be really hard to open up to that person. It's less like a peer. So when it comes to polyamory and relationship dynamics, there is a little bit more personal testimony put into the sessions than you normally would in a therapeutic environment, because it allows people to relate. So, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of the string that I heard in all of what you said is, you know, there is a lot of shame in all these subjects. Like there's shame in not having your relationships go well, there's shame in addiction, there's shame in, you know, trauma. And when you don't have someone who's also been there with you, there's almost like a fear of judgment. It's like, are you going to judge me? Like, even though you're a professional, you know, it can be really intimidating and just like you don't know. And it's just like, hey, I've been there with you. It's like, oh, okay, good, you know, we're both humans together.
And I will say, it's this is not to say that people who are not, you know, polyamorous or have never been addicted or never had trauma are not good at their jobs. My couples or throuples rather therapist is not polyamorous, but she's a badass at her job. but it does just take away that added step of, oh, you've been here, you know what I'm going through type of thing.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, what do you notice in like most often, like in your personal and professional life within polyamory? Like, where do you see the overlap for yourself?
It's difficult for me to not be the therapist, to not be the one to say, you know, I love you, but I love myself more. I'm going to step away from this situation. I will be back and we can address this when we have cooler heads. That's what I tell people to say in their own words. But it's really hard to do that and not sound condescending when you're having an argument or a work through with your partners. And it's also really hard when you're going through something, like full disclosure, like I'm going through right now, a breakup and a potential divorce. Where I see, you know, I zoom out and I see problems and I see how to repair those ruptures. But I can't be the one to, you know, say it, to have them realize it or to, you know, tell them about themselves. Because it's coming from, you know, an extremely biased, party. And so taking a step back in functioning relationships and dysfunctional relationships while still maintaining boundaries is one of the hardest things about being a therapist, but also being, you know, a partner. And so that's where some of the struggles have been, because I'm a professional listener and space holder, yet in my personal relationships, I get super defensive and invalidating. Like, it's my job to validate people, and I get invalidating for some reason in relationships. And I'm thankful for the past 5 weeks where this, you know, kind of turbulence is happening, because I've been able to sit with myself and look at how codependent the past 12 years have been for me, and I'm 8 for me and my husband, and I'm able to take a step back and go, whoa, I would love to heal these parts and then start again. I do not want to rekindle the relationship that was had. I want to throw a stick of dynamite in that and then start over. It'll be a brand new relationship, brand new boundaries, communication styles, experiences, the whole nine yards. And that's kind of the goal that I have for my patients as well when they're going through a rough patch.
Wow. Okay. So lots of gold in what you just said. and I think one of the first things is like the differentiation between, you know, being a therapist, and I'm a coach. So like being a therapist and being a supportive partner, and that you do have to like separate those two, you know, parts of you. And just like you had to learn how to be a therapist, you know, you have to learn how to be a supportive partner as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, that resonates so much with me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so good at like helping people out with this. I'm like, oh, I actually have to learn how to be a supportive partner. That's a totally separate thing to learn how to do. And then also you mentioned, you know, what you're going through personally. And if you want to say more about kind of what's going on, because I think that's also something that gets talked about in polyamory and non-monogamy, is exactly what you're going through. Like, how do you deal with a breakup? How do you deal with this circumstance? You know, so if you'd like to share a little bit, I know that you got consent from all parties to share today. So
I did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that, it's new relationship energy is intoxicating. I mean, biologically, you've got your serotonin, norepinephrine, and, you know, dopamine and cortisol, you know, all, you know, pumping, getting hits off of each other, essentially. And I think when, because I have grown up with an anxious attachment style, and so the honeymoon phase, that new relationship energy, I start overanalyzing, and I step out of quickly, and, you know, step into the realness of a relationship, probably sooner than what is comfortable for, you know, for most who don't overanalyze things psychologically. And so what happened was, and just the facts, not feelings, what happened is my husband and I have been together for 12 years. We were married in 2014. And we experienced infidelity on both parts. When I found out about it, I was completely turned on. And then I was like, oh, that's weird. You know, that's not supposed to happen. And so ended up about a year and a half, 2 years ago, having the conversation, finally being vulnerable and secure enough to say, hey, you know, I have needs that I can't provide for you. I would love to, you know, see you, you know, experience these sexual needs, because I was having health issues and I couldn't, I don't know how explicit we get on this show.
As explicit as you want, go for it.
Perfect. I couldn't bottom because I had chronic fissures, and so I would just bleed. And so I have since had surgery to repair that, which is fantastic. But that was a need that I could not meet for my husband. And it was a nice segue, a nice excuse to have the conversation. And so we erotically opened up our marriage. And so with that came me saying, I, you know, am not interested in polyamory. I only have the emotional capacity for one person. And then we met our partner, or his partner, whatever. And, you know, as soon as I left his house, after meeting him, I called my husband and I was like, you have to meet this person. You know, we're gonna ask him on a date. Like, it's happening. And we did, and it happened. And, you know, 3 months later, he was moving in, and started, you know, they both started remodeling, physically remodeling our house nonstop. Hyperfixating. I
And
shut
we're gonna keep
down.
going past the break, so I'm gonna keep your story rolling. So let's just
Okay,
keep
cool.
going. Yeah, keep on rolling.
I shut down because my physical surroundings were changing, my relationship dynamics were changing, and I had never felt this before, and it was a shock to me to not be able to identify my feelings. I was like, whoa. And so I reclused. I, went back into old patterns of, reclusiveness and not communicating. Our partner was an amazing communicator, amazing, and still is super vulnerable. Gave me no reason to feel unsafe. Yet I felt like I had to guard myself. That was not the authenticity that he had felt at the beginning. And while I do blame it on, all the changes and adjustment periods happening, it was me being insecure and still having an anxious attachment style, and my codependency suddenly being shaken. Even though I had always said, oh, no, we're not codependent, we're just attached at the hip. And then 3 days later, because my husband feels safer, with his partner, by comparison, since we have obviously had bumps in the road, there's a lot of trust issues, between us, and it's up to both parties, me and my husband, to put in the effort to repair. I'm a firm believer in rupture and repair. And we can speak more on that later, but that is the, I believe, the key to a relationship. Obviously, you need to love each other, but you can't bake cookies without, flour or some sort of substitute of flour. You can have all the chocolate chips in the world, but it's not going to make a cookie. So if you have
Right.
the ability to rupture, repair, you're golden.
Yeah, we'll say a little bit more about rupture and repair.
So with rupture and repair, I always say some analogy about Japanese pottery being broken and then put back
I
together
was
with
just that was my that was literally my mental picture was just like, oh yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna forget the name for that.
Yep, I
But
can't
yeah.
remember the name.
Yeah,
But
but
yeah,
when it
it's put
breaks and they
together.
put it together with the gold. Yeah.
And it becomes more valuable and it's more beautiful and it has more character. And so a willingness to forgive and not forgive in the sense of letting somebody off the hook, but forgiveness in the sense of letting go of the hope that the past can still happen differently, is kind of the magic wand or the key to relationships, because relationships in and of themselves are triggering. They will always be triggering. They will always, there will always be ruptures. And if there's a willingness for repair, there will always be repair. Sometimes, if there's no willingness, if someone is just too tired, both have to accept the other's decisions to a certain extent. But, I always ask people, exhaust all avenues. Don't go straight to divorce, go to counseling, talk to each other, don't avoid each other, give yourself, space, especially in polyamorous relationships. Right now, the space isn't being given for repair because all time is being spent with his partner. There's a pretty avoidant situation happening over here, but we just started with our throuples therapist, 3 weeks ago, so we're kind of repairing that aspect of it so that we can get to the repairing us aspect of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because, I have never personally gone to throuples therapy. I've, but like, how is that going? Like, what is that like to be a part of like a throuple in therapy? How does that go?
It's well, since it's so new, I love her method. She started with my husband, like one on one. Then she started with me one on one. And then actually yesterday was our first session, just the two of us. And then we have another one Thursday, just the two of us. And then after that, we're going to bring his partner in, my ex-partner, to kind of blend everything together, because there's no history there with his metamor. And so there's not a lot, there's nothing to repair. There's only things to repair between me and him. Right. And if that's a roadblock for my husband to be willing to repair, then we need to figure out, you know, is the partner willing to repair so that the husband is willing to repair as well? There's so many different facets. So we haven't had actual therapy with all three of us yet, but that's coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's such a, I love that method too, because there's so many different moving parts. You know, it's like when you're a throuple, it's not just like, okay, now you have one relationship altogether. It's like, well, now you have each relationship with the other one, you have the relationship together, you have, you know, and as you said, you know, you have different past dynamics between, you know, you and your husband. And like, regardless of what the, you know, throuple situation is, there might be different past dynamics had it, you know, if it's someone else, some other throuple example. But yeah, like there's a lot of different dynamics at play. And so I do, I love that. I think that that's an incredible way to approach it and to look at it and to, you know, kind of almost like systematize it, where it's like, okay, just one step, you know, at a time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you brought up, you know, each party's relationship with each other. I've realized in all this time, you know, alone and all this self-work that I've been doing, that and his partner and I, who was, you know, we were all three in a triad, him and I never dated. It was always just the three of us. They got their quality time by, you know, remodeling and doing, you know, multiple rooms at a time. And they were able to spend that quality time. I wanted quality time without distraction. That was resisted because it was taken as pulling them away from their quality time. And so there was kind of a push and pull there. And finally I just, you know, let go and would, you know, disappear into, you know, our room. It was not handled well on my part, because I did stop communicating. I did, you know, I probably inadvertently gave the silent treatment. Or if someone were to ask, you know, am I fine or am I okay, I'd be like, I'm fine. I've banned that phrase in my practice from people from saying I'm fine. No, fine is not a feeling. But I ended up saying it myself, like, and it was a weird time. But as soon as I adjusted, that's when the net was dropped out from under me. And so it was all very abrupt and very sudden and unexpected on my part. But there's a little bit of stubbornness that I've gotten past, but stubbornness on their parts as well that they have, you know, admitted to letting go of the past, or at least giving themselves a chance to understand what happened and why, and to not take it personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that can be really difficult to do as well. Mm-hmm. Or it's just like, you know, especially, you know, we've been talking more like kind of like this happened and this happened and this happened, and looking at it more from like a factual standpoint, where there is also like, there is the feeling standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, there is all of like the emotions and what goes on underneath the surface. And, mm-hmm. you know, as we said at the beginning of this episode, you know, you can understand it up and down, you know, right and left all day long, but at the end of the day, you're a human with emotions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me a little bit more about like emotionally what it's been like for you.
Emotionally, I had my week of like Julia Roberts ugly crying, like full on like bathroom floor moments, as like Glennon Doyle says. And you know, all these, you know, things that, like, it was some of the toughest emotions I've ever felt in my life. I flew up to my best friend's house in Delaware. I live in Dallas, Texas. I flew up to Delaware by myself to stay with her on Dover Air Force Base because I just needed to get away and give, you know, space and be somewhere where I felt supported and not, you know, in the house. We literally built a bed frame and put a California king and a twin size or full size mattress next to it, squished them together, and we had like this big old, like, you know, fit six people on this bed. And that bed suddenly felt really, 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 really small. And so I now live in the guest room. It's been remodeled, but I now live in the guest room, and then up here in my office are really the only places that I go to a fault. Because I'm the one that's supposed to make everybody comfortable. And so it's for my own comfort. Yes. Because it is still hard to see, because I haven't seen their grieving process. I've just seen their very goofy, like, happy-go-lucky, still serotonin pumping out of their ears selves. And I'm sitting here feeling alone, like, hello? Like, is anybody going to acknowledge this, like, you know, earth-shattering, seemingly earth-shattering event that, you know, just happened? But that was my codependency. And that was me saying, I want them to feel how I feel instead of feeling compersion and joy that they're feeling, you know, that my husband is and, you know, his partner, is, they are open to repair now. You know, at least the counseling part, and holding on to that and being expressing gratitude for that instead of, you know, saying you're not doing enough. Are they doing as much as I am? No. You know, was there a situation a few nights ago where my husband finally felt alone for the first time? We're both photographers too. We photographed a bachelor party for friends of mine that he'd never met. So he felt very out of place. And his partner wasn't there. And so for the first time, he didn't have someone attached to his hip because I've, you know, I'm an independent woman now and, you know, I don't need to be attached to anybody's hip. But it was kind of an eye-opening thing for me to observe and for him to experience that, yeah, maybe he has been distracting himself or the space has not been given or permission has not been given to himself to grieve or to feel alone and sit in that, what Glennon Doyle calls the hot loneliness. Because that's how you inspire repair is doing that. And then surrounding yourself with, you know, on my end, surrounding myself with supportive people. I have a friend that I've known for about a year and a half, and his name is Anthony. He's shown up for me in ways that I didn't even know I deserved or was worthy of. Yeah. I have never had a male figure in my life. I realized this like 2 weeks ago. And shared it with him. I've never had a male figure in my life where, without me asking, you know, made me feel like I'm worthy of being protected or defended, and cherished. And so, like, this is a whole new, like, you know, self realization of, oh, I don't always have to be the one to, you know, to take care of, you know, someone emotionally. I'm finally letting somebody take care of me and show me that, hey, you're worth defending. We went to an arts festival, and my husband and his partner, you know, showed up at that arts festival, and Anthony had his, you know, arm around me and just kind of like led me away, like mid-sentence, as they made, you know, their introductions. You know, my partner or his partner had never met Anthony and kind of led me away and was like, we're going now. And I was like, oh my God. And I went to look back. He goes, don't look back. I was like, oh, okay. but has shown up for me, and I've shown up, been able to show up for him through some, you know, tough stuff that he's going through too. And that reciprocation is not something that I knew I deserved until now. So there's lots of really good things happening within myself that are going to allow me to be a better partner for my husband or for, you know, anyone after that or during that or, you know, on top of, below of, in between, or whatever. And it's really, I'm now understanding what I tell people all the time, which is kind of a cool feeling.
Yeah.
Like you have to love yourself first before someone else can love you type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the love that you're able to give yourself is correlated to the love you're able to receive is how I characterize it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. It's just like if the love that, because giving is receiving, right? Mm-hmm. You give and you receive at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're able to give yourself love, then that's correlate to the amount that you're able to receive from others.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that that's beautiful. And we are going to go on break here really quick, but just to kind of recap, it does take sometimes like these seemingly like, well, I won't say it that way. It does take things kind of exploding sometimes.
Big fan of dynamite.
Yeah. And it does sometimes take that to really shake up your core, shake up your foundation and see like, okay, what isn't working here? And that might be with you, that might be with your partnership, that might be with multiple partnerships, you know, that might be just with like how you interact with the world in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, sometimes it does, it takes that explosion. And of course, like we don't wish each other, you know, harm on the other person, but it's also sometimes like looking at it from a bird's eye view, it's like, wow, it's, there are some blessings in disguise here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to continue this conversation. I want to talk a little bit more about blessings in disguise and like what you want to do moving forward and like, you know, what next actions are. And so we're going to cover all of that when we get back.
Absolutely.
Do you feel stuck with unresolved issues and don't know what to do or where to go? Join me, Dr. Kathy Chargaloff, in my show, Life Esteem, Rise and Transform, every first Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Leave your problems behind by learning to follow your path to life esteem. Be empowered and aware of your choices you make in life now. Visit LifeEsteem.com for more information. That's LifeEsteem.com.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off, you're killing it in the mom game, but did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, and we are here with Thomas Mundell, and we have been talking about the personal and professional side of polyamory, and specifically we've been talking about, you know, since we are talking about you and your personal life and how that impacts your professional life as well, and the overlap of those two things, you know, we've been talking about what you've been dealing with recently, which is a breakup, a potential divorce, you know, lots of feelings. And, you know, this is what we see when we, you know, look at polyamory from more of a professional standpoint is, you know, I get a lot of questions about, well, what happens if my partner, you know, falls in love with someone and leaves me? You know, what do I do? Like, how will I be able to handle that? You know, and like most of the time, if people are speaking in hypotheticals, I'm like, you know what, that is a hypothetical and we're not going to deal with that right now. We're actually going to deal with what is in front of us. Mm-hmm. But you're actually dealing with that right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for being so vulnerable. Then one of the things that's so interesting about how you're speaking about this is not only like the heartbreak of it and like the things that have been really tough to deal with and all of the things that you've noticed in yourself. You know, you've been talking about how you've, you know, noticed your codependency and noticed your, you know, anxious attachment style come up, you know, all of these things, you know, you have all of the lingo. But like one of the things that's come up is like the good things that have happened out of this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I want to use the word good, maybe you wouldn't use the word good, but like the blessings, you know, mm-hmm. what you can be grateful for in having this come up, which I think is so funny. And I think that some people believe, you know, might think that that's a little bit callous even to say, but you started talking about like, oh, well, this is really good that this came up. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, like I said before the break, big fan of Dynamite, and you know, and those blessings in disguise, being able to, like you said earlier, have a bird's eye view or to zoom out on, you know, initially it's where did it go wrong, you know, that's in a breakup, that's always where, you know, where it happens, where did it go wrong, but if you're able to look past the where did it go wrong, you're able to kind of get a more substantial, a more all-encompassing view, and you'll see all the places where it went right, and you can pluck those pieces out for your next relationship if that's, you know, what ends up happening, and you can take those hurt parts, and I've always been of the belief that I will never make a new partner pay for an old partner's mistakes. I will never, you know, if there's one thing that I come out of this, you know, if it ends, it'll, you know, it won't be jaded. I don't believe in jaded love. And that's that guarded self, as a defense mechanism rather than a coping mechanism. I will always love hard, fast, and fully, no matter what. If I feel that with somebody, I'm not going to say, oh, I've felt this before, but you don't get to experience it because somebody else couldn't handle it, or because I messed it up, or because, you know, whatever.
Something happened. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I will probably in the future, you know, if the cycle has to be, you know, repeated, we'll probably think twice about the swiftness of going from, you know, brand new relationship to nesting partner, de-escalating a relationship is something that is foreign to them, and it's foreign to me in the fact that I've never done it before, but I help people do it, you know, professionally. Right. But it is a lot harder when we have nine animals. We have four
nine
dogs.
Animals.
We have
what?
Four dogs, three cats, and two chickens.
Oh my god! You live on a domesticated farm.
Pretty much in the middle of Dallas, Fort Worth. Yeah.
And, oh my god!
So it does complicate things, but we are all, as of right now, still good. There's no like animosity. There's awkwardness. There's a lot of awkwardness. We try our best to not have to walk on eggshells, but. None of us hate each other, and I think that there's no contempt, and I think that's what is important. There's trust issues, there's frustration that, you know, at the stubbornness of not, you know, giving repair a chance, but there's no contempt. Nobody hates each other. Nobody is trying to like sabotage each other. No, we don't see each other as competition. If what my husband has been feeling, if he's been feeling this for a long time, then this was just a catalyst. And I can be, you know, catty and in moments of anger or just upsetness, and say, oh, you know, he just, you know, if he's been feeling this the whole time, he now just finally committed to it because he has a backup plan. And then I'm like, why? It's not a backup plan. That goes against everything polyamory stands for. And so, you know, I have gone through those moments of, you know, I wish I had never introduced, this person, and my marriage would still, you know, be intact. But then right. I step back immediately and go, gross. how cynical is that? Because this, you know, their relationship is beautiful. The relationship that we had for 5 months, all three of us, was absolutely beautiful. And why would I want to invalidate all of that or void that even by saying, I wish this never happened? No, I'm so glad that it happened, for sure.
Oh my gosh. And it's beautiful. And I think that you kind of hit where the, like, being a therapist and being a human kind of intersects, where you can catch yourself in those mm-hmm. moments. You can see, you can hold the space for, you know, the things that are going really well, along with the things that aren't working, mm-hmm. or even along with the things that are heart-wrenching. You know, you mm-hmm. can hold all of that space, and it's a big space to hold, but I think that we found the intersection, you know, mm-hmm. is that even though you're still going through all of it, and that comes back to, there was a question I didn't ask, at the very beginning, which was something along the lines of, you know, how do you hold the space for, you know, having all of these heart-wrenching emotions and also still being happy for your partner, still having that compassion? And I'm so glad I didn't ask that then, because it just came to this beautiful crescendo right there. but that's really it, is because, and I believe, and I don't know how you feel, I'm curious, but I believe it's because you get a lot of practice. Like, even mm-hmm. though you're still a human, even though you're still dealing with all the things, you have so much practice and tools mm-hmm. that you can catch it in the moment where you had that thought and you're like, oh my God, what a cynical thing to think. Okay,
goosebumps all over my body. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And I'll give you a short answer to the, you know, what do I do in those, you know, those really like tough moments. I'm a singer, and Alanis Morissette. Ought to Know. Yeah,
God.
I recorded a cover of You Ought to Know, and it's just, yeah, like I had my losing my voice to Alanis Morissette era for about a week, but then when I, you know, in order to come back to that compersion, all I have to do is look at them, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, okay, that's what matters. And then Anthony, this guardian angel that's shown up, he believes that music is the most therapeutic thing that exists, which it is.
I agree. I completely mm-hmm. agree. Oh my gosh. That's a whole nother episode that I would totally do. All right. We are going to go on another break. And this has just been such a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing everything. and when we get back from the break, we are going to wrap up. And we're also going to ask some wonderful questions. questions, and then we're going to talk about what you actually do, because I'm sure that people want to get a hold of you. I'm sure that people have questions for you, interested in your practice. And so we'll get everybody that information as well. So we'll be right back.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Krista Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion, with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And I cannot even express how grateful I am to you sharing and really courageously expanding in love. Like, you have absolutely exemplified the show's tagline today. So in everything that you've shared with us today, and we are, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I could talk about, you know, what you're dealing with. And there was just so much that got brought up today that we could go into. But from what you shared today, what are your current personal takeaways in your situation?
My personal takeaways in the situation are, I deserve more than what I was allowing myself to receive. And not coming from a place of like conceit, but coming from a place of, you know, yes, putting myself first, but not at the expense of others. Being able to show up for myself so that I may be able to show up for others, not just showing up for myself and only myself and the people that like bring me joy. Sometimes our partners don't bring us joy, but those are the moments that we need to show up for each other the most, I believe. And that's the biggest takeaway that I've had, and the biggest realization I've had over the past 5 weeks is that I am my own best friend. Everything else is just a bonus type of thing.
Ooh. Oh my God, I'm so happy I asked that question. That was really beautiful. Thank you. And of course. I agree. I think that you have to love yourself first. I think that you have to be your own best friend. It's one of my favorite questions to ask is, if you were your own best friend, what advice would you give yourself? What would you tell yourself? Yeah. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay. So we're going to do our end of the show questions, and then we're going to talk about what you do and how people can find you.
Awesome.
So what does love mean to you?
Love means choosing to build a foundation next to someone else's foundation. And then being able to use those two foundations as dance floors together.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I've been a professional dancer for 25 years. So that answer has been in my back pocket for a very long time. And you're the first person to ask me that.
Oh, yes! Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. Oh, yes. That feels so good. Mm-hmm. Captured right here. That was a beautiful answer. I love that. If people get nothing else, what do you hope that they got out of this episode?
To know that the dark is sometimes there to be your friend, and that it's natural for us to be afraid of the dark, those dark moments, and to want to avoid them, but rather sit with them and look them in the face. Because you'll end up looking at parts of yourself that have been screaming out for attention, and you'll end up introducing yourself to basically a friend that's never left. And that would be yourself.
Phew, phew, phew. Yeah. Okay.
Lots of sound bites for you.
I know. Woo! Dropping it at the end of, I mean, there's been a ton throughout the whole thing, but wow. What is an action that people can take?
In what sense?
What's it like if someone were going through what you're going through, what do you think that they could do? What's an action they could take?
They could go to therapy. honestly.
Yes, go to therapy.
Go to therapy. Answer number one. Answer number two, find, if you can, find someone to support you. Don't go looking for somebody. Be vulnerable in how you're feeling on social media. I know people would like to keep their, you know, private lives private, but if you're hurting, you know, post something saying, hey, is anyone able to hold space for me? I'm going through a really rough time right now. They will come. Somebody will show up for you.
They absolutely will. Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because it's so true. There are people that want to, and I'm just going to say the royal you, there are people that want to help you. They want to. They're waiting. They're waiting for you to say, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. And what are you promoting today?
Well, I have a podcast. With a colleague of mine and good friend, and actually the bachelor party that I photographed. His name is Dr. Johnson. It's called Navigating Chaos on all podcast platforms. Our first two episodes are Fear and Loving and Polyamory. Him and his soon-to-be husband are polyamorous as well. Very, very loud about it, and we love it. Navigating Chaos, a modern mental health podcast, but then also my practice. If people are interested, can find me at soulbirdwellness.com.
And that is in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. And the Soulbird name was inspired by an India RE song, Soulbird Rise. Mm-hmm. And it's the name of our bus that we, you know, we purchased a school bus and turned it into a tiny home RV thing. And her name is Soulbird. And you could think of Soulbird as like a butterfly maybe. And so going through that, you know, that chrysalis and that metamorphosis, right now I'm kind of coming out of that chrysalis. and learning how to spread my wings, if you will.
You are, and you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for sharing so vulnerably and so openly. Thank you for giving a perspective as a professional, but also giving a perspective as someone who is actually dealing with this like raw and real right now. And it really does take a lot of courage and a lot of vulnerability to not only share everything that you did today, but live it and live it with such fierceness and grace and compassion for yourself and others. So thank you.
Fierceness, something I tell people that I usually end with on, you know, the podcast or whatever is, I want you to love yourself so fiercely that when you walk into a room, people see how it's done.
Holy crap.
I do not get credit for that. I think it was either Gabrielle Bernstein or whoever wrote You Are a Badass.
Jen Sincero.
Sincero, yes.
Yeah, yes.
But that quote has like, I want it tattooed on my face and I love it. I also want to recommend a book to people that I know you've recommended before.
Yes.
By my friend Jessica Fern. This helps a lot, you know, leaning into.
Jessica Fern. All of that. Yeah. So. Oh my God. Yes, absolutely. Cannot recommend that book enough. I do. I think I recommend that book on almost every single episode. Like, read Polysecure by Jessica Fern.
I've got 5 copies right here next to me.
Fantastic. Yeah, beautiful. And then also listen to Thomas's podcast, Navigating Chaos. If Thomas is someone who really resonates with you and you're looking for a therapist in this arena, please reach out to him. Again, soulbirdwellness.com. Everything that you need is in the show notes for this episode. Thomas, thank you so much for being on today. It's absolutely been a pleasure having you. And to everyone who is listening or watching, thank you so much. Thank you for your commitment to love. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you for being vulnerable. Tune in every Tuesday live on the Transformation Network Facebook page or catch the episodes on Thursday on YouTube or podcast format. This has been the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. Oh, until next time, keep loving.
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.